I am here taking a lovely little stroll on Wimbledon Common with the beautiful...
With the Wombles.
With the Wombles. I haven't seen any Wombles of Wimbledon, actually.
They're around the corner, it's fine.
I am not here with a Womble of Wimbledon, but in fact, Miss Susie Pike... When did we last see each other? We were just working it out. Eating ice cream in Sydney, getting a little bit plastered over a bottle of wine in a faux Italian restaurant near the Harbour Bridge.
Yes.
Since then, Susie has gone off and done a rather epic cycle. Now, we're not going to get to that just now, but first of all, Susie Pike, tell us, where are you from? Where were you born?
I was born in Eastbourne. And then because of my dad's job, which is was a solar physicist, we lived all over. We lived in Spain, we lived in Japan. But now home for me is Perth in Scotland, or just north, in the mountains.
You're a bit of a travel bunny, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
You've done a lot of travelling. But when I first met you, you'd settled down and you were kind of, not necessarily enjoying, but you were loving a bit of London life. And then something happened. So where did this need to go off on a massive adventure come from?
I met you.
Don't put me in the frame on this one.
No, so because of Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
so...
Can we talk about Japan?
Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Talk about Japan. So what happened in Japan?
I was working in Japan when the tsunami and radiation and earthquake hit. And because of that, I got post-traumatic stress and depression, which meant that when I came home, I needed help, I needed therapy, and... It took a good few years, and it taught me that life's really short and it can be over in an instant, and you have to you can't live your life with regret. So age 24,
that's a pretty epic thing to go through quite young.
Yeah, it was hard, like really hard, but I think it's made me stronger. I hope to take something from that. So when I was 24 and in New Zealand for a year, I promised myself I'd come to Oz, and so not living with that, with any regrets, I booked my ticket, and I knew I wanted to do something. I just didn't know what.
So you'd already booked a ticket to Oz. You just didn't quite know what you were going to do while you were there.
And then I met you, and I met Dave Cornthwaite, and I met Danny Bent, and life was just amazing in the fact that the positivity, the enthusiasm, just made me really excited with the possibilities that were on offer. And then after a few meetings with Dave, I decided that I was rollerblading Oz.
This is what I love most about your adventure story, is that the thing you ended up doing wasn't actually your first idea.
No.
So you talked to us about your first idea, which I was really jealous of, actually.
I still really, because obviously I didn't do it, but I still really need to do something rollerblade adventurist. Basically, my plan was to do Cairns to Melbourne by rollerblading, but because I did it the whole trip for charity, number one question that the charities ask is your event legal? And because I was doing it alone, I wasn't doing it with any support, I wasn't allowed to do it.
What was also special about this, and I know I remember speaking to you at the time, and you were pretty distraught because you'd put a Facebook post up, you told everyone, and then you were like, oh my gosh, it's illegal. But how does that feel? And do you get over that just really quickly and be like, ah, well?
Well, straight away, my friends split into the nudges and the doubters. The nudges being the ones that said, why the hell wouldn't you do that? And the doubters being, why the hell would you do that? And it was actually a friend who sent me a link, one of the doubters. And he said,
yes.
And I was just like, oh, gee, thanks. But it made me just determined. There was no way I was going to do nothing. It just meant that I had to find something else.
So what was your something else? So you can't rollerblade across Australia. What are you going to do?
Cycle it instead.
Yay!
Yeah, I'd never owned a bike before. Didn't know how to change a tyre. Didn't know anything about bikes.
Minor detail.
And I'd only ever cycled, I think, about 20 kilometres once, borrowing a bike at uni, and I took about 4 days to be able to sit down, and like I was mega unfit. And yeah, I'm a girl who in Japan would drive 200 yards to get a Mackie D's, so I'm not an athlete. And it was a challenge to do Perth to Sydney.
What does it feel like for you when that idea pops in your head and you think, oh, I'm going to cycle across Australia? Can you remember that process, or was it
I was actually really really scared. I can't, since the post-traumatic stress, I have recovered, but I still am not good with anxiety, and certain situations do stress me out more so than they did pre-Japan. And yeah, I was scared, but I knew that I always throw myself in head first into things. In the end, I'm always all right, even though maybe I panic more than most. But I knew I had to challenge myself. I don't know why, but I just wanted to push myself and see how strong I was mentally and physically. And I thought it would be quite a good way to do it. And to do something that I was proud of, really.
Yeah. And that's what you did. So you cycled, yeah. You set off from Perth, and yeah. You cycled how many thousand kilometres?
5,031
kilometres the whole way across Australia to finish up in Sydney.
Yeah, in a suburb of Wurunga, because I was born in a house in England called Wurunga, so I thought it would be quite fitting to finish there.
Oh, everyone needs a reason.
Exactly. 132 days on the road, of which 64 were cycling.
And what happened? Talk to me about the first couple of weeks.
First day, I basically had a knee injury, couldn't train, my physio was telling me not to buy the majority of my kit just in case I wouldn't be able to do it. She was amazing, but she was saying, you know, I think you might just get to 300k out of Perth. And I was like, but that's not Sydney. And then as the weeks went on with physio and with their treatment, she was like, you know, you might make it to Adelaide. I was like, that's not good enough. It's not Sydney. And so she just said, you know what, just do what you can. And so I didn't buy my kit, and it got stuck in customs. And basically it arrived on the day I left. So I didn't pack my bag up or the panniers until the day I left. I took 3 attempts to get on Dougal the bike, and after 300 yards I was phoning my friend who dropped me off, who'd waved me off, saying, you know, the cycle path goes left and right, Google Maps isn't clear, where the hell do I go.
So you got lost within 300 yards.
I hadn't even left the park.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, and she said, you're going to Sydney, and I was like, oh my god, what am I doing? But it was, I did the first 50k, and I set off at 4 o'clock. It was dark by the time I arrived. It was stupid because I shouldn't have left so late. But it was the fact that the next day I had to get up and do the same. Yeah. Like, it was my routine. That was my life that I'd agreed to for the next 5,000k. And it was the reality of having to do that, because yeah. I'd never cycled. I'd only trained about 3 times. 60k was the longest bike ride of my life to that date.
Yeah.
And so I took it slow. The first few weeks I did a lot of woofing, which is willing workers on organic farms, which is where you work, or you volunteer for your food and accommodation.
Yeah. So you stopped for a little bit, had a little rest.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to build myself up. I wasn't going to be someone who, for me, traveling's about seeing how people live in that country. It's not about going to all the popular, beautiful parts. I want to see what it's really like.
Yeah.
I'm not
you
interested.
Want the dirty bits.
Up close and personal. So, yeah, I woof.
That's what I love about adventures, though, is that everyone has their own style, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I learned pretty early on. But I like to stop for tea and cake and chats, and sometimes I like to smash it. And you're like a stopper and a chatter too.
You always need cake and tea in your life.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, so woofing meant that I could go slower, but it also meant that, you know, I didn't want to race across. I had no interest in racing across. I could have done it in half the time. Well, maybe not, but like, you know. But actually, I wanted time to see it. You know, this was my chance to see the country. And the amazing thing was that my woofing host would take me in the car and show me around the local area. You know, because a 15K detour to go and see something was a 30K detour, which meant, you know, a couple of hours cycling. So. Yeah. I saw loads more than I thought I would, but I just took my time. There was no rush. It was just I had to make it to Sydney, and there was no, in my mind, there was no way, there was no excuse to not make it, really.
Which is amazing when you start out with a knee that can hardly do 30k.
Exactly.
I'm really interested, and this is great because I haven't actually heard this yet. I haven't had a chance to speak to you since we had our wine in Sydney. So what was the best bit of the adventure? Is there a day or a moment that stands out where you're like, that is living, that's what I wanted?
Actual cycling, it was a Great Ocean Road between Apollo Bay and Lorne, through Lorne up, I
Can you say that in a really Aussie accent, please?
Hollow Bay. That sounds a bit...
Lawn.
Lawn. With a bit of g'day. Far out. Yes, that was 72K, and it was really hilly, but I didn't care. It was absolute bliss. And the fact that the cars went really slowly, people told me, oh, it's too dangerous to cycle the Great Ocean Road. There's tourists driving, you know, they're getting distracted by the view and they're veering off, you know, but I was just as visible as possible. I was aware always when cars were behind me. And if in my mirror they didn't look like they were going to overtake me and they were going to hit me, I just got off the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favourite cycling day. The highlight of the whole trip was the people. Out of 132 days, I camped on my own once. The rest of the time I stayed with people.
Either by
woofing or couch surfing or warm showers, which is couch surfing basically for cycle tourists. And the people you meet, well, I met, were just amazing.
Because I think that's a bit of a barrier for some people. I have a lot of conversations with people who say, you know, they're scared about wild camping on their own, yeah. To which my answer is you just get used to it. But actually, I think you found out that you, from what I understood from watching it and catching up with you along the way, is that you started on your own and actually you didn't really like it that much. So you just always sought out some other people.
Like, for me, I love people. I have learned a lot about myself because I was alone during the cycling part, but for me I really wanted to meet people, and so yeah, I stayed with people, and that was a happy compromise. I was alone during the day, and then I had people at night. But the one thing that really surprised me about it was that I was so socially exhausted at the end of the cycle.
Yeah.
Because I was so physically exhausted during the day, I then wanted to socialise with my host. I couldn't arrive at, you know, 5 o'clock and be like, sorry, I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
I wanted to find out about these people. I wanted to get to know them. And so I'd be chatting and you know, it was always amazing fun. But at the end of the trip, I just wanted to be alone and just not have to talk.
Yeah,
and that, for me to say that is amazing, because I just talk all the time.
I totally get it. You're meeting people for the first time every single day and you're pepping yourself up.
Yeah.
And that's
so
exhausting too.
So that was the one thing that really surprised me, of the effect of it, but I wouldn't have changed it.
I'm interested now, how was the Nullarbor? Because that is a road that just is talked about so much, and it's this big desolate expanse, and it's one thing if you're driving across it, but what is that like to cycle?
Well, I was insanely lucky. I was terrified of that stretch. That was a bit that was giving me sleepless nights. You know, the isolation, the fact that I would have had to wild camp, and through loads of really good luck and coincidences that I just, sometimes things are meant to just happen. I met this amazing group called the Geriatric Play Group, who were cycling Perth to Newcastle, which is just north of Sydney. And they were 53 to 73 in age.
Legends.
And were just incredible. There were 9 cyclists, 4 support. And so I joined them. So I wasn't alone on the Nullarbor, which was incredible. And actually, that possibly was the best part of the trip.
Now, I think that's really interesting, because that's my experience as well, that the thing that you are most frightened about actually turns out to be one of the coolest parts
exactly.
of the whole trip.
Like, they were just, you know, we chatted, I basically had support. So, yes, I took the weight off my bike so I could keep up with them. I've never cycled. We cycled something like 1,900 kilometres in 21 days. I've never done that before. I did 180K in a day.
A peloton? Were you full on Tour de France style?
No, we had the photo group at the front, which was the slow group.
Nice.
Who liked to stop for photos
Amazing.
And appreciate it. And then the fast group who'd, head down cycling.
Yeah.
I was obviously in the photo group. But it was just a ball. You know, we shared rooms every night, and it was just bed at 7, up at 4:30.
Casual.
And get 100K, you know, 100, 150 done, rest day every 4 or 5 days. The Nullarbor, though, it was just... I'm a mountains girl. For me, beauty is in a mountain. I don't really find much in flat areas. And I had to kind of train my brain to see the beauty in it, because it is just flat. But there's something beautiful about the space, about the vastness and the isolation. It's just... can't really describe it. Like I
guess it's like nowhere else that you've experienced before.
No, and I'm so glad. I think I really would have struggled had I been on my own, and I was very grateful for the group.
Now, you were in the photo group, and that's because, other than the fact that you like to stop for a bit of a chat, you actually do genuinely love taking photos. I mean, your Instagram handle is the Travelling Photo Addict.
Yep.
Did you get to do as much photography as you expected on the trip?
No. No. Quite simply.
Why is that?
I carried my SLR with me the whole way. I think I got it out about 3 times. And I used my iPhone the whole time, which I will maybe regret because I won't be able to blow up the photos because they won't be good enough quality. But I was just so tired. And also the SLR, you know, was always packed away. And
yeah,
to have to stop, get it out. I don't know, just... No,
I don't think you're alone in that. Like, everyone I've said that's gone on tours says, if you're going to take a camera, keep it in your bar bag and just take a small one because you won't be bothered.
Yeah, I was going to... Yeah, I didn't have the money to buy a point-and-shoot one, but I wish I'd had that and just not bothered with the SLR. And actually, one time went over a bump in the road having gone flying down a hill, and there was a little bump at a bridge, and it flew out of my bar bag and smashed, so... That was fun. But yeah, photo-wise, I took a load, like thousands and thousands, but none of any good quality.
So how has this whole thing left you feeling about adventure? Are you done? Do you never want to get on a bike again? Or has it sparked a new kind of love to take it a new direction? How are you feeling?
I think it was on the Nullarbor that I was like, I'm done. Not done with travelling. I think I've spent about 5 years of the last 8 abroad. And it's not that I'm done with travelling. I think what I want is to now that I know what I want to do, I want to get a job that I love and to earn enough money to then have time for adventures.
Last 2 questions.
Uh-huh.
First one, are you proud of yourself? When you look in the mirror and you're like, I cycled 5,000 kilometres across Australia on my own. All right, you had a bit of help along the way, but basically you were on your own.
That is a really strange question. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yes, but also, like for me, people say, oh, you must be proud of yourself. But it still hasn't hit that I've done it. The fact I finished, on the 27th of December, so... 4 months ago now.
Yeah.
I think when I finished, there wasn't that sense of euphoria that I was expecting. I was expecting this emotional breakdown. And I would even get upset thinking about finishing the weeks before. But when I actually did, I was so relieved to be alive and to have done it that it wasn't that euphoric moment. So I haven't... It still hasn't hit. So, no. Like, at the moment, no. Because... I don't consider that I'm still in shock that I've done it, and so it just feels very surreal. I think surreal and is the word. So
and
but I will be because ultimately I did it
and it's amazing. I know what you mean.
It just hasn't hit. I went to a yoga retreat for 2 weeks hoping that it would with all meditation and stuff. It didn't. It really didn't, but yes.
Lastly, do you have any advice for anyone that's listening to this that's thinking about taking that leap, that first big adventure, but they're a bit scared and they're pretty nervous? Do you have some advice for them?
Surround yourself with nudges.
Nudges.
Don't look up the Urban Dictionary. It doesn't mean that what I'm saying it means. So surround yourself with nudges. The people that believe in you will lift you, support you and encourage you instead of the doubters. Commit to it and believe in yourself and then just do it. I wouldn't, if you hadn't believed in me, if people like Adam, Danny, you know, people that looked me in the eye and said, of course you can do it. I don't think I, you know, would have got to the start line. But yeah. I just absorbed your belief and then just did it. Like, because I knew... that once I got on that plane, if I got on the plane back, having not at least attempted it, I would have kicked myself for the rest of my life. And so you just have to do what you dream of, really. Just quit the excuses and just do it.
Susie Pike, you are a true adventure queen. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks, McNaught.
Signing out from Wimbledon Common. Big love.
Love you too.